Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back, and we are here with 2017, everyone. It is the first. It is exciting to start a new year, a new fantasy year. I am here with Chris and Tim. I am Tyler. We've been gone for 2 weeks, so my intro is a little shaky already, so I need to get in the flow of things.
True story.
So how is it going today, guys?
Tim, you can go first. I usually monopolize this.
Well, thank you very much. I want to say it's great to be back. Welcome to 2017, everybody. Hope everybody had a great holiday, a great new year. We're here. We are now in the fantasy offseason, and we're prepping to get ready for this rookie class. It's going to be, they got the combine coming up. We have the All-Star games here in a few weeks. So I'm just happy to be back and ready to get rocking into this next year's class of rookies.
Is it weird that I like this? I like from now until August way better than the actual season. Is that weird?
Not weird at all. No. I love this part of the year.
I should feel bad because I'm sitting here going, football's on, but I kind of just want to get to the next thing. Like, I don't want to watch the Packers versus the Lions. Especially, there's something on the line. I don't care for either one of these teams anyways. So I've been sitting here going, yeah, I kind of want to discuss the 17 class. I kind of want to discuss third-year breakouts. Like, this is what I want to talk about. Like, I'm so happy for this moment. Like, I feel like this is what I'm excited for with Dynasty, and this is why I love Dynasty so much more than Redraft. Like, with Redraft, everybody's wrapping up. Everybody's doing their 2017 first round, which I don't get as a concept. Why do that? But, I love this time of the year. Like, this is fantastic to me. Like, this is when I actually start really delving in and, like, going balls deep on everything. I don't even look at stats, honestly. Like, I lost a bet to my friend last week. We're watching football, and he goes, hey, Latavius Murray has, like, 12 touchdowns. I said, no, he does not have 12 touchdowns. He goes, yeah, he does. He goes, I'll bet you this and that. I said, okay, sure. I look up. Of course, he has 12 touchdowns. I'm not keeping track of the weekly touchdowns and, like, that week-to-week kind of statistics. So this is what I love. I love to be able to now look back at the season and go through and kind of analyze, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this episode today. I love this. I loved today's episode, by the way.
Yeah, this is the more exciting part to me. I completely agree, Chris. And I honestly think we should put a damper on the week previews. I think we should be strictly Dynasty. So I am making a proposal to these two live on air
that Don't tease me.
We do not ever do week review or week previews.
Yes. Oh man. Awesome. All for it.
I like that. Maybe highlight some of the bigger names.
Okay. Other way around. Highlight the lower names. Like that.
The deeper dives. Hey,
Jalen Richard, yeah.
I hear you. There's plenty of guys that talk about the big names. Got it.
I'm all for that. I hate you. yeah, no, I'm all in favor of that. Absolutely, 100%.
All right. Well, today we are going to do our bad apology tour 2016, the year 2016. Not, you know, we're not dumb and don't realize it's 2017. Yeah. But first, we're going to mention some sponsors. We are sponsored by the Sit or Start app. It is the premium app for all your start or sit questions. If you have a tough decision this week, which we all do, just plug in the players into the app and you will get analysis, projections, rankings, and statistical breakdown of the decision. Check it out now. It's a great new tool that was made to help you winning championships. Obviously, this is not going to help you anymore because you probably won your championship if you listen to us. Oh, wait, every podcast.
They do notes. They do notes in news throughout the season and throughout the off season. So yes. It's still very usable on a day-to-day basis.
They have updates coming up for the draft. They're probably going to have a draft tracker. I've been keeping in touch with them, and they got some really nice new things coming in. So I suggest to download it. It doesn't hurt to download. Try it out. I'm telling you guys are missing out if you don't have it. Next, we are sponsored by MyFantasyLeague.com. Hands down the best site for any league you're in. I just started a new podcasters league. It is with all people in podcasts. It's going to be great. Tim, Chris, and I are probably going to get murdered in this.
But supposedly, I'm in this. I didn't even know. I just read like 150 notifications from you and Travis from FTA just going back and forth. or TFA, sorry, going back and forth about scoring formats and about trying to get people in. So I guess I'm in that league. I just found out. And also Doug's in that league.
Yes. And I honestly think the league got real when Matt Kelly joined. And
isn't Tim Fortune there?
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, who? Ooh. No. Just kidding, Tim. We love you.
But we're going to beat you. But yeah, no, with Matt Kelly, that was a fantastic scoop. And it was awesome that, I mean, it was you that got him. Yes, Tyler?
Yeah.
Because I didn't reach out to him, and I'm the one who, you know, I'm in communications with him all the time. So that was fantastic. I mean, the show kind of shows how personable he is, how approachable. So that's great.
I just pulled the how I got my wife thing. Hey, come on. Yep, come on.
You should have told me you like Far Behind by Candlebox. That hits a soft spot for him.
Or a hard spot.
Wait, you actually did listen to that episode?
No, I didn't, but
okay.
Just guessing, just taking a guess. And then when you do go to myfantasyleague.com, check out myfantasygraphics.com. They will customize your league, and it's not that much. They'll do anything you want, to a banner, to division banners, to even making a team logo for you. And even if it's not your league, he could actually customize your team logo. And when you go to the site, check things out, you know, get your first order, he will give you 20% off your first order. I know somebody messaged me earlier about that this week and went to the site, and I think he's using it and I think he loves it.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to start with our bad apology tour. And Chris, let everybody kind of know what exactly we're going to be talking about.
Yep. So first of all, as you two gents can see in the agenda, I forgot to change that title. This is broken into two categories. We're each going to do six players. Three of them are going to be players that we were comparatively low on individually that ended up being beats. And then three players that we were super high on that just flopped. Look at this from just a redraft perspective. Just looking at this from 2016. And we're going to give an apology and kind of explain what we, you know, think went wrong. Try to be less about, like, you know, oh, it's this and this and this, blah, blah, blah. You know, just, you know, be humble about it. Just kind of, you know, we all mess up. That's the whole point of fantasy. If you're good 60% of the time, you're better than most. So just, you know, talk about the players. We don't know who each other's doing. We don't even know what our analysis is on each one of, like, for the other people. So it's going to be a little bit interesting here, kind of see where we go with this. So, Tim, I'll actually give you the first one up. So first, let's do players that I was low on that happened to pop. So pick your first player.
Okay, my first player that I am going to do that I was below average on is Mr. Kirk Cousins. As of the end of week 16, he was QB5 in the standings. He finished completing 384 of his 571 passes for 4,630 yards with a touchdown to interception ratio of 24 to 10. I came into this year, I just wasn't a believer in the man. Him and his little sound bites, I thought it was more of a gimmick than anything. The team, they seemed reluctant to give him a big time contract with me, which made me think that if the team, who gets to see him every day in practice out there on the field, wasn't willing to give him big money, that there was something else there. But all he's done this year is produce week in and week out for this Redskins team. Now, granted, I had him around QB 16, 17 in the preseason, and he's crushed me. He destroyed that ranking. QB 5. I don't know his stat line from today, but I'm sure he's going to finish right in that window. QB 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. So great season to Kirk Cousins. Now, granted, he will lose at least one of the DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon tandem. But let's remember, he's still going to have Crowder. He's still going to have Reed. And, oh, yeah, a healthy Josh Doctson. This is great for Kirk Cousins going forward. So things are looking great for the former Spartan signal caller in Kirk Cousins. And I want to take a second to say, Mr. Cousins, I do like that, and I'm sorry.
Real quick, since this is just a podcast, people can't watch you. When you said Josh Doctson, that's the creepiest face I've ever seen you make. Just saying, that was incredibly creepy.
I'm just imagining what Josh Doctson's going to do.
I just imagine a pair of pants popping off from tightness. That's what I pictured. I don't want to picture that ever again from you.
I do. Well, that's my new year's. That's my New Year's resolution. More
Pantless podcasting.
Tim. More Tim.
Nice.
All right, Tyler. More Tim
in my life.
You're up.
All right, my first one is going to be, and this is because I kind of have to, T.Y. Hilton. And a lot of this is because
I'm happy to pick that one. I was going to, and I thought you're going to, so I didn't.
Is because Mr. Hurley of Dynasty Trade Calculator, and I had a bet at the beginning of the year, and I said Moncrief was going to be a top 10 receiver. And obviously, I was wrong. And Hilton actually became the top 10 receiver and actually led the league in receiving yards with 1,448 ahead of Julio Jones. I don't think anybody saw that coming, to be honest with you. And yeah, his touchdowns numbers were still in the single digits, but man, with that yardage, ooh, I'm sorry, T.Y. I'm very sorry, but I'm going in for round two next year.
He played a very Julio-like season, didn't he? A lot of yards, limited touchdowns. They were hit or miss. Imagine if both those guys could just put up consistent touchdown stats.
Yep.
Isn't it weird, by the way, that T.Y. is the leader in receiving yards? He's only at 1,400. Like, doesn't it feel like we've maybe been spoiled the past, like, you know, 5 years or so, 4 years?
But yet, running backs, we have more than three over 1,000.
We have nine. No, last year it was seven. This year it's nine.
Three, I thought.
No, I actually looked it up. I looked up the other day. I thought so too, because I was going to write some really snarky post about how, like, you know, running backs, I thought were going to go away. And you can look it up. I'm 99% sure that it's seven last year. It's at least nine this year. I checked it on Monday, so I don't know if anybody this week crossed it. But yeah, I'm
pretty sure. Devontae Freeman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was at like 960 or something that before. But yeah, I'm 99% sure it's nine or 10 this year, and it was seven last year. But yeah, no, T.Y. Hilton, I mean, he really surprised me as well. I was with you. I wasn't as high as you with it, and my disparity between them and my rankings was not as high as yours, but I really thought that his skill set was going to be dwindled this year, comparatively speaking, to last year. So I'm with you on that one. That was a tough one. I really considered him, but I was hoping that you did him. But my first one up is one Terrell Pryor. I mean, if you look at ADP back in August, I mean, he was barely going in the top 150 or so. And now people have really jumped him up to a top 25-ish wide receiver, which I still can't do, but let's give the man his props. 77 receptions, 1,007 yards, and four touchdowns in 2016. I was never on the train for this guy as a wide receiver. I actually liked him a lot as a quarterback. I had him. He helped me in a lot of leagues at bye. I think it was 2013. I hate positional converts, and I especially hate extremes like quarterback to wide receiver, quarterback to running back. To me, it just really pans out, and I went with odds, basically. And I'll be honest, the whole Browns thing with Corey Coleman being drafted scared the crap out of me. This influenced the hell out of my decision. I sit there going, I'll take this risk, because to me, the risk is like 1%. And of course, the 1% popped. And Terrell Pryor's put up a solid season. And I think we said this about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. Terrell Pryor is going to be one of the most interesting wide receivers to look at in this offseason. He's going to be turning 28. He's going to be going into a free agency. If the Browns re-sign him, they're probably going to have another quarterback, or at least they should. It's going to be a very strange team. You're going to have Corey Coleman in his second year being healthy. I mean, how do we properly evaluate this player? And I don't want to be nasty about him and be like, oh, I was wrong about him. Someone's going to keep, you know, being negative about him. But it's really hard not to, because the situation is not very promising. And so for me, I apologize to you for Terrell Pryor for 2016 and me being super down on you, not believing in you. That being said, I'm going to have a hard time putting you very highly in 2017. I have to see some stability in your situation, whether that be a quarterback and a nice contract in Cleveland, whether that be a better situation, maybe going to a place like, I don't know, Dallas maybe. I need to see some stability out of you for your situation, because you've shown a stability on the field, and I cannot deny that. So that's been solid. I mean, he's had a great year. I still think he finished out the top 20 wide receiver this year, if I'm not mistaken. Solid year, man. Hard to hate on him. He's really turned into a solid wide receiver on a really bad team.
Tim? Yeah, that's a great one, because I stayed away completely on him. I had him nowhere, yep. And he really surprised the heck out of me, yeah, so. All right, we sticking with a low, or can I move over to one of the guys I was high on?
Yeah, no. What do you want to do?
Let's stick with the
guys we were low on.
Players that went off. Yeah.
All right, here's my next guy that I was low on, and I'm going to stay with the QB position. And you're going to be surprised to hear that I had this guy as QB4 coming into the season. That's rookie QB number 4, Dak Prescott. I had him ranked as my fourth rookie quarterback in this class. And as of the end of week 17, going into this week, he was QB6 overall in the entire NFL. So Dak Prescott, I want to say, whoa, was I wrong? I was way off on you. All this kid has done is he has grown with each game. He's got a great line in front of him, and obviously that helps any quarterback in this league. But with that great protection, he has shown great poise. He has grown every week from reading one side of the field to going through reads the whole way across the field, going through progressions. He shows great footwork, something that I wanted to see him progress in my scouting of him. I saw the happy feet, a lot of Donovan McNabb-like throws, missing low. He's completely got rid of all that type of stuff. He's making great decisions with his touchdown and interception ratio being off the charts for a rookie quarterback. So Dak Prescott, I am so, so sorry. I had you as the number four quarterback in your own class, and you've proven that you're top 10 quarterback in this league overall. Way to go, sir.
What's funny is I knew you were going to pick that one. That was also my list too, that I had to narrow down. I thought that's definitely a Tim one, so I can't. But yeah, absolutely. No
yeah, question. I really just wasn't that big of a Prescott fan this offseason. Complete whiff on my part.
Yep.
All right, my next one is Jordan Howard. Did not see this coming. And the thing was I was kind of a believer in Jeremy Langford. I thought he was a halfway decent running back. He showed me a little bit, but then kind of tampered off in the end of the season. But he showed me more than I expected. And I thought he was going to be the kind of, if all came down and he just crapped the bed, he would be a good PPR back on third down. But he wasn't even that really. Jordan Howard, though, he ended up with 1,313 yards. That is second behind Ezekiel Elliott. Mind-blowing, guys. Two rookies up top for the rushing title. I just find that amazing. I'm guessing everybody thought Gurley was going to be there, but no, it's Jordan Howard, another running back that ran better than Gurley on a really bad team with a bad quarterback. You know, it can happen, Gurley. You can run better. But no, he had, what, seven touchdowns, I think it was? Seven or eight? So his touchdowns numbers were low, but they oddly gave the ball to Jeremy Langford in the red zone, which kind of was weird to me because Howard is that power back. He never got negative yards, everybody's saying. But the thing is with him, is it another Langford situation in the offseason? That is what we're going to find out.
That definitely scares the crap out of me. But I think that he's definitely shown a lot more than Langford. And I think one of the things, too, that's been a knock against Howard is his pass-catching ability. I think he's shown enough that he can handle enough of it. And if worse comes to worse, it's use Langford for it. I just can't see them. They have so many holes, so many gaping holes they have on that team. I can't see them going running back high. But maybe it's just me. I think Howard's here to stay for at least another year.
I agree. I do think he will be in for another year. And if he shows next year, I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah, I agree. All right, my next one up, and this is a tough one for me. Because I have to admit, I've never been a fan of this player ever in his career. There's something about him. He has a really douchey face. And
Tom Brady?
No. I've never been. I can't be low on Tom Brady. Okay. I mean, in Dynasty, I can. But no, it's Jimmy Graham. He has a really douchey face. It's really douchey hair. And I hold that against
Why?
Him.
Why? Because it's red?
Is it red now? I thought it was still like this weird bleach blonde kind of look.
I think that's his natural look, by the way.
Oh, is it? Well, yeah. He has a naturally douchey look. I can't help it.
So redheads have a douchey look.
Yeah, fact.
Andy Dalton does kind of look like a tool.
Really? Oh, yeah, he looks like a tool. He doesn't look like a douche.
That's
a
I think that's more the haircut. Things. He has that. I'm not
going to
get into this.
Well, yeah, it's oddly very similar to Tyler's, but anyways.
I don't have that haircut anymore.
I never willingly picked him up anywhere, honestly. If I took over an orphan and he was there, I traded him. And whether it be last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I just never wanted this dude on my team. I always felt he was super overvalued in every possible setting. And even this offseason with his patellar tendon, this really like did it in for me. I was like, yes, I knew I was vindicated. I knew I was so smart. And of course, you know, he comes back with 65, 9, 23, and 6. And one of the weirdest home road splits in the league. But yeah, with Jimmy Graham, I never bought into him. I just said something about him. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a face, but again, I just went with odds on the patellar tendon. It happens. I mean, he's one of the few players to come back from it. I'm happy to see him back. I still want nothing to do with him. He still kind of freaks me out. He's looked really good at home this year, and he's put together a solid campaign for a tight end in general. I think he's top seven. And to do that after coming back from this injury and also coming back kind of early from this injury, I got to give the man props. I mean, I'm sorry, Jimmy Graham, I doubted your ability. I think I was part of like that 99%. I traded him in the offseason for like Doriel Green Beckham, and I felt so good about it. Not anymore. Jimmy Graham really came back, really showed strong. I think that he still has time left in the NFL. I would not be buying him unless you get it for cheap. The window's probably closed on him. So my apology to you, Jimmy Graham. I thought you were done. You're not done. Tim?
All right. Tyler and I are in lockstep because my next guy is Tyler's last guy, Jordan Howard.
That's why I did it. I had a feeling somebody was going to take it.
Not me.
Tyler mentioned over 1,300 yards. He had 6 touchdowns on the ground. And then Chris kind of talked about the concerns with the passing game play, but 29 catches, 298 yards, and a touchdown through the air there. So he's definitely usable. What I wanted to do is I wanted to go back. I found my scouting notes on Jordan Howard from the tape and the combine and all that stuff and just give you guys a little bit of insight into what I was seeing back then and what he is now. So Jordan Howard, Indiana, 6'2", 230. He was a 2-star recruit. He came out as a junior. Power is the name of the game with this guy. Shows balance to go along with it. He's a decent blocker. Shows good hands on film, but he definitely had a few drops at the combine workouts. He won't make too many guys miss. His lateral agility is something that lacks. He doesn't show great top-end speed and takes a while to even get going to his top ends. He didn't run a 40 at the combine, but he showed average athletic scores in the vertical and broad jumps. So I wasn't very high on him through my scouting. And then even early on this season when he did begin to pop, I still had my doubts. I still don't see great speed out of the young man.
The thing you did get better at from your notes is the agility. The agility in the hole,
yep.
He is very good at, and it's very surprising. It's almost effortless for him. That little jump cut that he does in the hole and then takes off is quite good.
Yep.
That's what I was going to say. Based on my scouting, I still don't see the top end speed, so I don't think I missed there. It was the agility that surprises me.
Mm-hmm.
On film, I didn't see it back in college for whatever reason. Everything he's doing in the NFL so far seems to be working. He is making guys miss at a much higher rate than I ever expected. So, Mr. Howard, again, I'm sorry.
All right. That will lead me to my last one. And this is long wait. Mine is Devonta Freeman. I am so sorry. So sorry.
Oh, the passion. Oh, I can feel this.
I am so, so sorry. I sold you in a league for somebody's whole draft in the 6th slot, and I would still rather have you right now. I am so sorry. He ends up with 1,079 yards, 462 yards receiving, double-digit rushing touchdown again for a second year. Oh, I am sorry.
And that's with Tevin Coleman actually producing.
Yeah, and Freeman also looks better than he did last year. He looks better in the hole. He's breaking more tackles. He's more patient. Honestly,
less touches. He does look better. You're right about that. He does look better than he did last year, and it's on less touches. Like, he's producing relatively similar numbers.
It's almost the exact same, except for like a couple touchdowns less.
Yeah, exactly. The touchdowns are less overall, but I mean, the numbers are still there. He's much more efficient. I mean, it's not even close to the efficiency levels.
I didn't see it coming. I thought I'm going to sell high. He's the number one running back. I'm going to sell high. Whew, okay, I feel good. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
As he's sitting here in a Falcons jersey, everyone.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, that's another one I should apologize to.
I know. I was going to pick him. I thought you were going to pick him. I thought one of you two was going to pick him. I didn't.
That's my special apology. I'm sorry, Matt Ryan. I didn't think you could be an MVP of the league.
If he doesn't get it, Matt Ryan, not Devonta Freeman.
If Matt Ryan doesn't get MVP, it's rigged. He deserves it.
You know Rodgers is going to get it, unjustifiably, in my opinion. but he's going to get it. All right. My last one. What? It's
collusion.
Collusion. My last one. This is really obvious. Tyler already guessed it long ago. Everybody who's listening guessed it. It's David Johnson. 2015, 581 rushing yards, 8 rushing touchdowns, 36, 457, and 4 through the air. This year, 1233. I didn't do week 16 because I did this during the game. The other stats are all including week 17. I didn't do week 17 for David
Johnson.
He had 7 yards rushing and
40 yards receiving or 30 some.
I think it was 30 something on 4 catches. But he also has 77 for 841, 4 touchdowns through the air. He had 1233 and 16 touchdowns on the ground. Infamously, I wrote an article saying I believe David Johnson was going to be the next CJ Anderson or Jeremy Hill. A small sample size back who excels at the back end of a season, who's going to be super hyped up in the next year and will ultimately fail. Hot damn, I was wrong. I based a lot of this on the things that I thought DJ did wrong and how teams would be able to easily adjust to him, like they adjusted to CJ Anderson and Jeremy Hill. Last year, and I'll still stand by this, he had poor vision. He had a tendency to bounce off to the wrong outside, and he had a very limited route tree, although he was very talented at it. He changed all of these things. Contrary to popular opinion, the player we see this year is leaps and bounds above the player we saw last year. And I was skeptical about that, and I was absolutely wrong on this. He put in the work. He identified the weaknesses in his game, and he really reaped the benefits. I mean, he carried that team on his back. He did the bell cow duties for Arizona, and even with a withering team, a terrible quarterback play from Carson Palmer, and depleted wide receiver core, I mean, he's easily my biggest miss. It's not even close. I felt the perfect storm of bad going on, and it was going to collapse on him, and instead he became the storm and basically dominated across the board. I mean, he's a completely different running back, and he's just a beast. I mean, there's nothing you can say about it at this point. He is really good, and he's really adjusted to the game. He's put in that work, and I'm psyched. Like, I'm more than happy to be wrong about that. He's just a really good player. It's when you watch him now, I mean, you see elite level everything he does. And for that, I apologize, David Johnson. That being said, all the people that ask me David Johnson trades in August, you still got damn good value because he's still ranked at pretty much the same level he was then. Yep. If you just missed out on a championship, that's probably why, because you traded him for Devontae Parker in 3 firsts. But anyways,
hold on. The David Johnson situation with all the articles you came out with reminds me of the Little Giants when he's like, you're going to be talking out of your butt and farting out of your mouth. That is the situation that reminds me of your total season with David Johnson.
Oh man. And there were a few spots. I remember like the first 2 or 3 weeks when he was going off, I was like, just give it time. And then I think it was week 4 is when I first started doing like my huge deep diving into film for the season, because I don't really like to watch it after week 1 or 2. And so week 4, I went in and I went to Game Pass and I looked up David Johnson, and I just looked at it, I was like, holy crap, he's making all the right moves. Like I remember thinking last year, why are you making that cut there? The tackle is clearly in your way. Why are you running? You ran into him. What a surprise. But no, I mean, his cuts have become perfect. Absolutely perfect. He hits the right hole at the right time, and he's just bowling over people. I mean, that's something we knew he's going to be able to do, but I was very skeptical of his ability to do it for a whole season and hold up. I know he got injured today, but it had nothing to do with it. He just got wrapped up the wrong way. But yeah, I mean, in Dynasty, it's still really hard to put him as number one. I can't. I think I had him at 9 last year, maybe 10. But I don't know about you two, but I still have a hard time putting him at 1 because of age, if nothing else. It makes it really difficult.
Yeah, he'd be top 3. But yeah, I mean, it'd be tough for me. And Chris and I were talking off the show before. David Johnson has had everything just fall right in front of him. Perfect. I mean, even this injury, everybody thought it was the worst. It could have been ACL. No, he literally walks away with just a slight, you know, what is it? Meniscus.
Meniscus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody thought, oh, he tore his ACL. His ACL is intact. This guy has to be either the luckiest man in the world.
He's next man.
I don't know how. I don't know how he did it. And it wasn't. And yeah, like I no idea. It's really like a matter of an inch that he missed it. It's not an issue of like something he did or something somebody else did. It's really just an issue of it's just an inch. Like if his knee was just an inch at a different angle, it would have been ACL, no question. But yeah, I mean, he's really, I think he averages like 6 points more than the next running back. He's the highest score in the league, including quarterback. I think even if Aaron Rodgers does well today, he's still going to lose David Johnson on a points for the season and points per game. So, yeah, I mean, wow. I don't think anybody expected this much except for like Mike Wright, pretty much. Even then, I still think he was speaking hyperbolically. But yeah, I mean, he's every week 30 points, pretty much. It was pretty much a guaranteed 30 points he got. And redraft dynasty, I skipped him on all of them. So. A redraft, I had him in a couple just because I was in so many redraft leagues. I was bound to get him once. But yeah, in dynasty, I don't have him anywhere. I traded him in the one league I had him in, and it was actually for 3 firsts and Devontae Parker. That's why I said that trade.
That's good value.
Yeah, it ended up being 103, 107, 109 plus Devontae Parker. So it's, like, it's not bad. In hindsight, I probably could get more. But I mean, I was not. There's no way I was competing in that league. So there's, I don't, yeah.
And you got a player you love, and that's what counts.
Yeah, exactly. Including love, I got the jersey on right now under this button up. So, Tim, 3 players that you were high on that sucked. First one up, who do you got here?
I had this gentleman as a wide receiver 2 coming into the year, and that is Michael Floyd, currently of the New England Patriots, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals.
I almost picked him.
Coming into week 17, stat line, 34 catches, 452 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's not wide receiver 2 numbers, if anybody doesn't really know. He had a very big sophomore season back in 2013, and ever since then, I have always been higher than what the consensus would be on this receiver. To his credit, I'll give him that other than David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, the rest of the entire Cardinals offense seemed to be having a pretty down year. So with guys like Fitzgerald, Brown, Nelson, the other Brown, all taking targets to be spread around. Nagging injuries with the hamstring probably slowed him down. But then he has a DUI in early December. This is his second DUI he's had. He had one back in college at Notre Dame. He fell asleep at the wheel, it appears. The Cardinals release him. He was a free agent to be. He still is a free agent to be. But then the New England Patriots pick him up within the next week. What the odd part about that is, and maybe it's not odd, but the telling part about that is roughly 30 other teams had to let him go by them in order for the New England Patriots to lay claim to him. So there were 30 other teams or, you know, in that ballpark that weren't willing to take a shot on this gentleman at this time. Now, if he stays in New England this offseason, obviously he has Tom Brady. He seems to be fitting in decently there. I think
he's
had something
harder.
He had 3 catches, 30 some yards and a touchdown this week. It's not, you know, not eye-popping stats by any means, but I mean, very few people other than Gronk and Edelman really go there and put up eye-popping stats. Everybody kind of plays a role. So I would definitely, if he stays in New England, I feel that I'll probably fall in the trap once again, and I'll be a little higher than the consensus on this gentleman. But if anybody was listening to me this offseason and my love for Michael Floyd, I apologize because he really didn't show up.
Yeah, he looks like he's playing a little more, like a little harder than he did in Arizona. I mean, that block he laid for Edelman was fantastic. And honestly, in Arizona, he probably wouldn't have made that block. He probably wouldn't even tried. Yeah. So I like seeing that.
Yeah, maybe he took that DUI, which is obviously a terrible thing, and he's trying to make the best of it and realizes that it's do or die now. He has to do something. Otherwise, he's never going to have a chance at any sort of big money in this league.
Yep. Completely agree. My first one is going to be Dante Moncrief to tie in with the T.Y. Hilton. I have to. Yeah, he had like 7 touchdowns, but he only had 307 yards.
How many receptions?
Like 30.
30.
It was an injury-plagued season, and they were using him differently than I thought. His first year, they used him as a deep ball receiver, and I loved seeing that. He was a guy who ran a 4.4. He was very athletic coming out of Ole Miss. I loved seeing that, and that's what drew me in. I feel like the more his career is going on, the more they're using him as a possession guy. I like that. Yeah, he scores touchdowns, but I want to see more. Like, I'm okay with 6 for 67, but this 3 for 28 and a touchdown crap isn't going to do it for me. So I don't know if it's luck. He didn't have that great of a year either. Let's get this fixed. because I am not getting off this bandwagon. I'm in too deep. I can't jump off. This thing's going 180 miles an hour. And if I jump off, I think everything I built into it is gone. Like, that's it.
So you lost the bet with John by 1,100 plus yards.
Just a bit outside.
I will actually be going on that podcast to talk about that.
To apologize to John.
Yes. Okay. And to talk about other things, but mainly to do that. Yep. Yeah. Moncrief, don't do this to me again.
You lost so many bets with Moncrief.
It's like that. It's like he cheated on me, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give you this is the last chance, maybe the last chance. But if you do this like 80 to 50, 53 more times, 53 to 80, that's it. I mean, I'm after that, it's done.
All right, since you did your love of the offseason, I'll also do mine, which is Devontae Parker. Might be a little bit surprising because he finished up the year 56 for 744 and four. Last year is 26 for 494 and three. At the beginning of the year, I projected him, if healthy, to be at 65, 10, 50, and 8, I believe, more or less. I mean, he dealt with numerous injuries, but many were insinuated to be due to his poor conditioning, so he lands on the list. He had some really nice flashes here and there, and he seems to be simmering. A lot of even redraft analysts are buying into him now, which is interesting. I don't know who I want to blame. The conditioning is definitely all on him. He needs to grow up and eat breakfast. I don't eat breakfast, but I'm not an athlete. So, well, Tannehill is definitely holding him back. I mean, I'm hoping another year with Gase's system that Tannehill can develop into a better starting quarterback and really be a starting quarterback, because they can't afford to spend capital on a one in the draft. He's so much dead weight, dead cap money, Tannehill is. It's not like they can get rid of him, I think, until 2018. And even then, it's still like a $4 or $5 million hit. This next year is a $20 million hit, so just to kind of kill that narrative now, they are not going to cut Ryan Tannehill. Don't even start with that crap. But, I mean, Tannehill did show decently in the season. I actually did consider putting him on this list, but they turned into a really run-heavy team, which kind of negated a lot of upside for Devontae Parker. I still think that, I mean, he's had a lot of insulated value, which is fantastic. I think people are really enjoying the catches that he's making, because they are really hard catches a lot of times. So his value is still insulated. He's still a top 25 wide receiver. And for most people, actually even top 20 for most analysts. So, I mean, you're not going to get him at that much of a discount. If you can, definitely do it. But this was disappointing, I think, in the sense of, I think a lot of us were hoping that he took a giant step forward. Instead, he just took a step forward. So that's why he lands on the list for this one. I spent a lot to get him in a lot of leagues, especially in startups. In trades, I pretty much got him for a good price most of the time. But in startups, I paid a lot in a lot of leagues with Tyler. I think I got him at 13, 14, 16 overall.
Don't forget the listener league. Listener league, he went in the first round.
I didn't pick him.
Oh, I know. Same with Moncrief. We tricked him, Chris. Slight. We tricked him.
High five.
I know. Air high five. Yep, that happened. We got you guys. That's the reason why we hyped him up. Not our fault. We're still amazing.
By the way, speaking of listener league, because I know we've had a lot of questions from the people in the listener league, but when we're going to talk about it, I think we should do an episode next week on it. Sound good?
Yeah, we could talk about that, and we'll give the congratulations to the winner. God, his name is escaping me. Hold on. His name's... I know, this is bad.
The problem is that the names in the league are honestly a little bit deceiving. That's the problem. Yeah, I have the same issue, honestly.
A lot of their Twitter is kind of the...
It's not the same.
It's not the same as a real name. James Harris.
Yeah, there we go, winner. James. Yeah.
Congratulations, you won the Listener League. We are going to be sending him a t-shirt and a championship ring from... Yep. God, now it's been an off year. What's the site called?
Moncrief.
I'm Moncriefing myself.
Yeah, you are. No, I think next week though we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about our teams, if nothing else, and kind of, you know, how the league developed and this and that. Like, I think people enjoy that.
And how people start training with me and my I'm sick of fantasy football at the moment.
Yeah, I did that to you. I did it not in that league. I did. Remember, it was Charles Sim and Charles Sims and Tavon Austin for Laquan Treadwell, and what was it?
I don't remember.
Jordan Howard. It was Jordan Howard.
Was it?
Yeah, you traded me Jordan Howard.
I'm gonna go hang myself.
It was also something else that too. I forget. Yeah, we'll talk about next week. But I'll look that one up.
There was like a 5-week period where I was just sick of fantasy football. I couldn't stand it because I was losing, and it was just. Oh.
What's your team called?
Crap.
Yeah. What's it really called?
Blood, Sweat, and Beers.
Right. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that next week and get all that going. So who's up next for that?
All right. All right. My next guy that I was high on, and I have been high on this guy since he came into the league, and that is ASJ, better known as Austin Seferian Jenkins. I once traded Eric Ebron and I think a pick for Austin Seferian Jenkins in a league because I was so sure this guy was going to just be the next Gronk. And he finishes this year. He finished the end of week 16. Well, I'm sorry, say that again.
You found stats on him? He actually has catches?
He has a couple. Just listen. Wait, the stat line here, air quotes, stat line, is going to blow you away.
Let's hear it.
16, 13 catches, a whole 13 of them.
That's more than I thought, to be honest.
154 yards.
Wow.
And one touchdown.
That's way better than I thought.
Yeah.
That's 13 catches, 153 yards, and one touchdown more than I thought.
So let's go all the way back to like the beginning of August. There were the preseason rumblings that ASJ and the new head coach Dirk Cutter there in Tampa Bay just weren't seeing eye to eye, that Cameron Brait was going to somehow work his way into being the starting tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I, the whole time, not happening, bro. Not going to happen. Get this Cameron Brait guy out of here. Well, wouldn't you know, ASJ gets himself excused from a practice in the preseason. He goes back to the locker room, takes to Twitter of all places, because that's what you do, and just starts, you know, shooting flames out there. Gets himself in trouble with the coach. Supposedly, they mend the fence. He's back at practice. But then the actual preseason games come along, and we're seeing Cameron Brait playing with the ones, ASJ playing with the twos and the threes, playing deep into the second half of preseason games. That's not a good sign. And then he has a DUI. Again, Michael Floyd got released for DUI, so did ASJ. The New York Jets come calling. The New York Jets, if you don't know, is like a black hole for tight end production. They do not pass the tight end. As a matter of fact, I was blown away by how much they actually passed to Austin Seferian Jenkins, and we see how little they actually pass Austin Seferian Jenkins. So the future doesn't look bright for ASJ. I don't think I can continue to be as high as I have consistently been on him. So I don't think I was necessarily pumping him up for anybody this offseason, but in my case, on so many different places, you killed me, buddy. You killed me, and I hope for better days for you.
All right, my next one is going to be Mohamed Sanu. This is the guy where in my 2016 year kind of big shot I'm going to take with Frank and Mike. Chris, I think you were there, weren't you?
I was overseas for the podcast. Yes, but yeah,
that was from the hotel. That was a good one.
Yep.
But yeah.
Both of you and Frank were believed in this, by the way.
Yep. I thought he was going to be a wide receiver too. Yeah, it was kind of like a bold take, a hot take, but 653 and I want to say 6 touchdowns or so. I'm not quite sure on the touchdowns, but 653 isn't bad. But the way Matt Ryan played, you probably thought he would have had better stats. It was just Matt Ryan spread the ball more. Tammy got yards. Coleman came in the factor. There's a lot more weapons that we actually did not realize were going to come in the factor. Taylor Gabriel, he started playing well for him. So, yeah, I mean, everybody was eating in Atlanta, and it affected Sanu's end stats. And I just think it's going to keep happening. I mean, I think this is Sanu.
Yeah, plain and simple. I was surprised, and yet not. That first week, though, I think you and Frank both busted nuts because I think he went off that game. It was like 6 for 80 and a touchdown, something like that. And that was basically it.
Yeah, he had like 2 touchdowns, and it was just nuts. He had a 100-yard game. Squeezed in there, and it got me a little more pumped. But I saw Tevin Coleman and the use they were in his usage, and I knew Sanu probably wasn't going to get the catches and targets that I thought he was going to.
Yep. All right. My next one up is Devontae Booker.
Ugh.
Damn you. I love this kid coming out of Utah. I thought he was a better version than Kenneth Dixon.
Wow.
Yeah. when he was a backup, he looked really good. He was making key cuts. He was getting good yards. But once he became a starter, though, it was bad all around. This is what he finished at, including today. 6-12, 4 touchdowns on the ground, 31, 263, and a catch through the air, and a touchdown through the air. Yeah. Yes, the Broncos offense was bad all around. The line was terrible. But a lot of it's on Booker, man. I hate to say it. I'm not really sure.
He
blew a huge opportunity. That was a solid place to play. And, I mean, even with a down offense and a not a strong defense, he had more than enough opportunities to the point they even brought Justin Forsett in and gave him touches. Justin Forsett sucks, man. Maybe it was an injury or just a bad situation we thought was good. Either way, he should have been sold months back on everyone's team, including all mine, but I was goddamn stubborn and I waited too long. And so now I have him on pretty much every dynasty team that I'm in because I bought him in rookie picks. I bought him in startup. What are you going to do?
Sell him this week.
There's no point. It's not going to get anything for him. I wish you could. The problem is, too, is that I'm still not willing to sell that low on him because I still think it's a good offense in theory. Kubiak, though, is retiring, so I don't know. It depends who goes there, I guess. But I'm hoping he can turn around 17, but I'm not confident in that whatsoever right now. Something dramatic has to change. But, yeah, Devontae Booker, damn you. Tim?
I bought Devontae Booker for Tevin Coleman straight up when Booker was named the starter. So.
All right, I feel less bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yep. Okay, so I should just parodied what he just said. Anyways, my last guy is going to be Marcus Wheaton. When Martavis Bryant was suspended, knowing Wheaton was going to be in a contract year, like, this kid is going to go off. Now, injuries really, really hampered the guy. He only played in 3 games.
Did you talk to Steve before the year, and did he talk to you about Wheaton? Because I feel like that could have a lot to do with it.
No, he was actually higher on Eli Rogers, honestly. And
that makes 2 of us.
I personally was a believer in Wheaton. I thought he was going to be the Robin to Antonio Brown's Batman, and only playing 3 games, he finished with 4 catches, 51 yards, and 1 touchdown. Like I said, I thought he was going to be the number 2 on a Steelers offense with Big Ben slinging the ball around. I thought it was going to be all rainbows and butterflies for this kid, but a shoulder injury held him out. He only had 3 games of action, and like I said, he's in a contract year, so he's probably going to have to take a prove-it deal. This has nothing to do with fantasy, just him personally. He's going to have to take a prove-it deal to get a shot at hoping to get a bigger contract in 2 years from now.
All right, my last guy is Corey Coleman. Another guy
I like that.
I was a little wrong on it. A lot of it's because Terrell Pryor came out of nowhere, like Chris mentioned earlier. Nobody, honestly, if somebody said, yeah, I saw that coming with Pryor.
They're out of their minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just met a liar face to face because there's no way anybody saw that coming. Corey Coleman, super talented, was thought to get all the targets. He was going to be the wide receiver in town. He ended up with 413 and I think 4 touchdowns around there.
Yeah, more or less.
But it was disappointing. I hope they get a better quarterback in. Honestly, Cleveland needs to stop with this Oakland Athletics Moneyball BS. Just get a good quarterback. Well, we got all these quarterbacks for the minimum. You know, that works, right? If we put all their all their progress together, all the yardage, it makes a quarterback 13.
They're building a starting pitcher rotation, though.
Oh yeah, that's true. Every 3 days they just switch them out.
Yeah, it's pretty much what they did this year.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy though about Corey Coleman? His value has increased.
Yeah, I actually looked on DLF rankings because I just
16th or 14th.
Yeah, I actually just re-signed with him. I mean, you're welcome, DLF. But yeah, I mean, their rankings have Coleman higher than I had him last year. And I was like, oh, right.
How did he gain value? I don't understand that.
I think it's he showed good athleticism, he showed he can actually run more than 2 routes. If that's a plus.
I don't know, man. To put him above Devontae Parker and Dante Moncrief is weird to me. Like, to be on the Browns, I don't know, man. And after this being injured and missing most of the season, and I don't get that at all. That's weird to me.
I do feel like the offense will get better. I mean, you have to get better. There's no way you can't get better.
That's what I said about Todd Gurley.
Yeah, Todd Gurley has to get better. There's Jared Goff has to get better. So
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is his floor. I feel like he's going to be a receiver that will take that 3 years. Kind of like I believe Devontae Parker is going to be that three-year guy. He's going to take 3 years to fully understand everything and become that 1,000-yard receiver, A-plus touchdowns.
Yeah. Corey Coleman. Tyler setting himself up for the apology tour of 2017.
There's going to be a lot on that list. And yeah. I didn't even mention Eddie Lacy. I was all aboard on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, actually, hold on. Now that I think about it, next week since we're doing the apology tour, we should do like the opposite of that for next week. Because
can I add one more?
Suck it, you should have listened to me.
Exactly.
I do want to add one more.
I was gonna say the blowjob tour, but yeah, what's up?
Michael Thomas.
Oh, to the apologies? Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised it wasn't there.
I saw him on a commercial during the podcast, and I'm like, oh my god, that's probably my biggest one. It was on a football commercial, and
it was everybody's biggest one.
But
now, here's my question to you, Ty. Are you apologizing to the bad Michael Thomas that you were so high on him, or are you apologizing to the good Michael Thomas that you didn't have him as the actual good Michael Thomas?
Hey, Mike Thomas for the Rams got a catch today. He got some good playing time.
Yeah, never totally. Know. Week 17. But no, with Michael Thomas, yeah, no, that's definitely going to be in our episode about, you know, the blowjob episode. That's what that's going to be.
There was somebody either on the DLF podcast or, oh God, what it was another podcast. It was probably DLF that said, look out for Mike Thomas. I think it was Nick Whalen. He said, look out for Mike Thomas next year. He could be somebody on the rise because he even said he liked his tape and he was shocked how buried he was on a depth chart. And it was probably a lot because Kenny Britt actually played good this year.
It was Nick Whalen, yeah. All right. So my last one up is Allen Robinson. We discussed this beforehand that, you know, we were joking how many Jaguars were going to be in this. It ended up only being one. And I think everybody kind of figured that somebody else would do him. And I did. Allen Robinson.
I'll still do him.
I do him right now in the middle of the pod. While talking about him. I don't care. He finished up last year 80, 1,400, and 14 touchdowns this year, including this week, 73, 883, and 6. Oh. He was my 1.02 in startups going into the year. In August, I said Allen Robinson. Okay, if you don't know Gerald Parker, you're not following him. He's hilarious, by the way. You need to follow this kid. He's a kid. He's older than me. You need to follow him. He's really good analyst. Him and I have this game we play. It's we basically try to say something hyperbolic that we actually do, in fact, believe in. If you look at the last one, I said that Queen's one of the worst bands of all time. I stand by that. But about Allen Robinson, I said Allen Robinson was a top five wide receiver in 2016 with a relatively similar stat line from 2015. Oof, I messed up on that one. We could cite any number of reasons, and we'll never really have a solid answer until next year or the year after. But we have the Blake Bortles conundrum, issues with drops, running game stagnant at best, worst offensive line, double coverages. But I think what's incredibly interesting is the changing of routes he was running, especially like randomly. He would start games running good routes, and he wouldn't be targeted. Then they started changing him up and doing like these shorter routes, and it made no sense. And he would get targeted, but it'd just be off because it's Blake Bortles. I mean, he was a highly targeted outside type wide receiver in 15, but his routes really stressed this less in 16, and his success rate on deeper balls went down. His air yards, 2015, he was fifth in the league, down to 18th. Yards after catch, 25th last year in the league, 74th this year. Yards per target, 17th last year, 137th this year. Yeah. And fantasy points per target, he was 13th last year. He was 90th this year. Goddamn. But as we've probably said about 1,000 times in this show, you do not get 80, 1,400, and 14 out of nowhere and for one season. That's incredibly uncommon. So I do think that Allen Robinson is in for a bounce back in 17. I think it's a huge value right now. Some people are really bitter about him. I'm not. He's still a top wide receiver for me. He's just not 102 anymore. But yeah, Allen Robinson, sorry. You have to wait a year, I guess, if you took my advice and bought him in places, whether it be last year or the year before. It is what it is. It happens. But that being said, gentlemen, can we do two very quick things? Because I actually got these questions in the middle of our podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. It's two trades. The first one up is Ty Montgomery or TJ Yeldon.
Tim.
Tyler.
That's honestly close to me.
Really? It's close on DTC.
I'm probably going to have to go Yeldon because I still think the Packers will draft a running back.
I think this, okay, so this is how I worded it to the dude. I told him to talk about it, but the thing is with Ty Montgomery, you're basically you're banking on them not drafting a running back and not signing somebody in free agency. You're banking on that, and you're insulating into his value and hyping it up. TJ Yeldon, this is as low as his value has ever been, basically. And, I mean, it's now at the bottom, and it's more or less equal to Ty Montgomery. So, with that being said, I'd much rather take Yeldon in that situation. The talent's not a question to me.
Has Montgomery's value ever been higher? Maybe slightly, like a few weeks ago?
Last week? Yeah, two weeks ago, maybe.
I bet his value will spike in the offseason.
Ty Montgomery's?
I think
his spike was 2-3 weeks ago.
I think it goes all. I think it goes drops completely.
I think there's going to be talk that they pull a running back or two aside at the combine and have the one-on-one interviews and things like that and
drop.
Yeah, I mean Lacy, Ty Montgomery, everybody there that's connected to the Packers is going to start to dip just a little bit just based on the what ifs.
If they re-sign Eddie Lacy, value is gone. If they draft somebody in the fourth round or better, value is gone to me. Even in the fifth round, I think I'd still prefer someone in the fifth round over Ty Montgomery as the running back. So I really think like they'd have to, you're basically hoping that they don't draft somebody, period. They don't sign somebody, period. And Christian Michael doesn't become a thing again. Like that's what you're banking on for best case scenario for Ty Montgomery. So that's why he's really close.
He just got hurt this game too. So
I know, I saw, yeah.
It looked like an Achilles or something like that. So
yeah.
That could actually drop his value completely.
Yeah, so I mean, I prefer the real running back over the three-game beat-up-on-bad-defenses running back, but that's just me. All right, the other one. Now, this is a big boy trade here, or a big girl trade. It is Mike Evans or 101, 109, 112 in a 14-team league. 101, 109, 112.
I still got to go Evans, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I was hoping there was going to be more. The 101, you got to like that. The 109, you're starting to get into crapshoot territory. What was the other one, 112?
Yeah, now the original trade when it started, it was okay, so it's a 14-team PPR, non-Superflex. Originally, the person wanted the person that is messaging me has the picks, and the other he's trying to get Evans. The person wanted 101, 109, 112, and Derek Carr. This would leave the dude with Jared Goff as his starting quarterback.
Oh,
or Brock Osweiler. Yeah. Oh. So I told him that you can't. Like, that's just too crappy a situation. You can't. It's just too much. In a 14-team league. So, yeah, I told him to take Carr out. So he asked me flat out, okay, dude offered, this. Would you do the picks for Evans straight up? And I was like, yeah, it's not even close. He goes, really? I said, yeah, it's not close to me. Like what if it were like 102, 104, 105?
Nope.
You prefer Evans still?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, me too. Like, what about 102, 101, 102, 103?
I need more than three. It's 102, 101, 102, 103. I still want Sweetener because.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say two of those three picks hit, and what we're saying hit are what quality starters for two or more years.
Yeah.
The chances that they are Evans level is still even more slim than that. The chance that you're going to hit on two of them. So
I agree.
I need the sweetener.
Yeah, just think about Evans. He is probably my 101 in startups right now.
Yep.
I would really? Take him over. I'd take him over Beckham. I'm not a Beckham fan. Oh, and God. I think, and it's not because of the stats or how he plays. It's because I don't like him as a player. It's just a personal preference.
So you'd rather give up a better player who's done far more.
I don't want to own Beckham. I can't.
I wish Evans owned him in other leagues we were in because I got him in the listener league. I wish I could get him in.
Evans is paired with a quarterback that's still on the rise where Eli has seemed to start to regress slightly, and we saw how quickly his brother just dropped off the map.
And yet he's the wide receiver too and scoring this year.
Yes, he is.
I'm not doing it based off stats, so. Yeah. I'm doing it based off because I don't like his personality. I think he's a douchebag, and I owned him. On the only time I've ever owned him was the Nerds League, with you, Chris, and I traded him right away because I hated having him. It was just me. I just hated having
him. Weird. I love having Odell Beckham because I feel like, oh, I get a guaranteed 20 points every game. Even when he's in the down season, it's 20 points every week. So I'm more than okay. If you're in a league with me and you have Beckham and I have Evans, I'll gladly trade you Evans for Beckham. It's not even a question to me. In the listener league, I traded Evans in 2 seconds for him, and I would do that all day. Okay, but so let's decide real quick. Next week, do we want to do the blowjob tour or do we want to do the listener league?
Let's do listener league. We owe the listener.
We owe them. Yeah. I hate to say we owe them because if you're in our chat, you don't want to owe them a thing.
They've gotten better, Jason. Yeah, Jason. Jason was kind of a douche to me early on, but now he has proclaimed his bro love for me. And the last time he said I love you, Tyler, it was I felt it, and I felt like he meant it. And at first I felt awkward, and then I'm like, you know what? He's a good guy.
All right. although he did ask me to try to get you in an omoplata on this week's pod. So,
but I do think we are going to have the champion on at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, we do owe Jason to come on, but the second.
Oh yeah, we owe Jason and we owe the champion. So I mean, we're going to give him both spots, but I'm just not sure we're going to do it next week.
The second they come on, and the second Jason talks about Laquan Treadwell, we are muting him and kicking him off.
So I looked at that trade, by the way. It was you traded me Laquan Treadwell and Jordan Howard. Oh, I traded you like Tavon Austin, Charles Sims, and a third.
That third, I'm telling you, that third.
Third's going to pop.
In a 16-team league, that third is going to be something terrible. Can I mark that as probably the worst trade I have made all year?
No, you've made worse. No.
Yeah, that Sammy Watkins one.
We'll talk about it next week. But yeah, I'm actually, the more the season has gone on, the more I've actually really loved my team. It took a while. Like for a 16 team league, I actually really like my team. It took a while though, because I had to do a lot of trades to get to where I did the luck trade with you. I love that one.
This is my first 16 team league. And this is my first ever doing it, and I have obviously made many mistakes in it. I have noticed I've been playing bad. I've just said screw it. There was a moment of time for like 3 days where if you sent me a trade, I probably would have accepted it, and I probably wouldn't have looked at it. Like John's trade, I looked at it and I saw my first coming back to me, and I accepted it, and it could work. It could not. I mean, the third overall pick, we'll see who the 1 and 2 pick, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, and yeah, we'll talk about it more next week. Do you guys want to take about like 5 minutes talking about who declared for the draft and who your guys' 101 is?
Sure. Yeah, I'm all for it. I thought you had daughter issues. Well, let's go. Tim.
She's sleeping, so.
All right, good.
Well, Mike Hurt.
Yeah, let's just talk in general. Like,
I kind of brought this up to you guys via Twitter the other day that I was digging more and more on the top two running backs, which it seems as of right now, it looks like consensus, they're probably going to be 101, 102, and that being Fournette and Cook. And I just, there are so many people that just absolutely love Fournette, and I'm just not on that bandwagon as of right now. And maybe the combine will do something for me. But just based on the tape, he looks like Derrick Henry light to me. Like, I don't love what I see. I see a lot of Derrick Henry, but just not as good in my eyes. And then Cook, I like a lot what I see on tape from Cook, and he shows good hands a lot of the times. But then there's just these balls that hit him in the hands, and he just drops. And maybe it's just concentration issues with him. He's a smaller of the two of these guys anyways, but there's a chance that he kind of comes in and gets put in that third down role early, and then he's going to have to work himself into more of the first and second down back type stuff.
Oh, I disagree with that completely.
Yeah, me too.
If somebody drafts him, they're going to draft him in the mid to late first, and they are going with the intention of playing him immediately. If somebody puts that much investment in him, I can't see them putting him in a selective role. That's okay. So for me, yeah, I agree completely with your Fournette. I wouldn't say a Derrick Henry. I would say a Derrick Henry. He does not have anything to him athletically that is so out there or so surprising. Like Derrick Henry had the has great burst and agility for being that big, and he's bigger. Fournette doesn't have that to me. Like, and we were discussing about the upside. The Tyler brought this up about, you know, what his absolute upside is, and it's AP. Because we don't see him as a pass catcher, and we see him very limited in that. And we said the same thing about Derrick Henry last year, but the difference was that Derrick Henry didn't catch what he could. I'm not so sure Leonard Fournette can catch very well. It's something he's going to have to develop. And if he does, then yeah, great. But I don't want to pay the prices if he has already. I think that's what's kind of spooked me about him. With Dalvin Cook, yeah, he's smaller, but I still think he's like 215-ish. Yep. And if he can put on like 3 to 5 pounds, I would maybe feel a bit better about him. But he's my 101. And just because I see his upside as just the moon. Like, I think that he could be a top three running back in the league. I think he's that good. I like Cooks. Yes, Cook has a much scarier floor than Fournette. Like, I see Fournette as being like Jonathan Stewart. Let's put it that way. Which is funny because I also think that he's going to go to Carolina. Yeah. I see him as Jonathan Stewart, like minus the injuries. I see him as a player who is big, has good burst, can get through a pile, can, you know, drag people around. He's big. He's fast for his size, but he's not Derrick Henry fast. But a player that ultimately is going to be volume dependent and touchdown dependent. And I don't like to bank off of that for a player. I would so much rather a player have 12 carries for 50 yards with 4 catches for 50 yards than a player who's going to have 20 carries for 65 yards and 1 catch for 2. Like, that bothers me. I don't want that. I hate Jonathan Stewart. I hate watching him for fantasy. As a player, yeah, he's really good. He's great to watch. But I don't like to actually – I don't like to own him in fantasy. I don't like to own these kind of players because it's like Jeremy Hill with upside. I got burned by Jeremy Hill, man. I bought into that huge. I blame Mike Wright for that still.
What about Christian McCaffrey for you guys?
I am actually getting a little more pumped up on McCaffrey just because if he lands in the right situation, the way this league is using running backs, I mean, if he is going to be a pass-catching guy, he could have a floor of 8 points and a ceiling of like 25, depending on if he is the third down guy, if he does get, you know, 10 to 15 carries still. And I watched a little bit of tape on him. He's very electric. And if he does get space, I mean, you're going to have a hard time even getting a hand on him. And I like that about him. And I'm falling for the Abdullah hype on him. Mm-hmm. So that could be another thing. But going back to Cook and Fournette, Cook is probably my 101. I'm not going to put a lock on it yet because obviously the combine. Fournette is, honestly, I do think he is a more athletic. He might be more athletic than Henry in the aspect of agility, east to west. When he is in a full run, I think he has an easier time of doing that agile sidestep than Henry does. And it could be because he's probably like an inch and a half shorter.
That's fair, yeah.
He's built differently than Henry. Henry's taller and more, you know, is probably
wide the shoulders. Fournette's wide throughout.
Yeah, Fournette has, you know, thick legs, and I know exactly. Katie Flower loves that. And from the tape I watched on Fournette, if he doesn't have any ankle issues and does show he can catch in the gauntlet and all that stuff, he could rise on people's boards. And Cook, honestly, all he needs to do is not fail in the combine to be the 101. And I do think he will be the 10 to 18 range in picks. That is Dalvin Cook. And I do think Fournette will be top 10.
Yeah.
And the thing with Cook is he's already ranked as the 7th overall player on one of McShay's or Mel Kiper's big board. So that's saying a lot about a player, especially a running back.
So with McCaffrey real quick, I'm going to regurgitate what I said to YouTube because the other day on Twitter was that for me, I see that McCaffrey, unless he bulks up, I see him, he's going to have a Gio Bernard career. He's going to do very well as a backup role. People are going to be screaming that he should be the starter. He's going to get the starter role. He's going to get injured or he's just not going to be very good. And then he's going to be back to the third down role with upside. If he gains weight, right now he's
205 or something like
205, 6'1", 205. If he can gain 10 pounds and he can still maintain the athleticism, I love him. He is 103 to me. I love him at 103. If he does that,
you could trade him to me in our Devy League.
No, because you offered trash. What did you offer me in that?
It was Gio in my first.
What was your first? What's your first?
105.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a Devy League. Hell no, I'm not doing
Damn
that.
It.
Can I hear? I forgot about that for a second. I was trying to think, what league is this? Is this Northwest? No, it's Movie League. No, I'm not doing that. It's awful. But yeah, with McCaffrey, okay, like I really like his play, and I really do. He's one of those players I love to watch play. But I am a little bit scared. I do like him a lot, and I do think he could be really good in this league. But there are lots of little red flags that are just like, I feel like we've seen this before. We've kind of heard this story before. And I'm just not sure. I mean, if he can gain the weight with maintaining the athleticism, I will be really big on him. But if he stays at 6'1", 205, he's gonna end up becoming landing spot dependent. Not dependent, but it's gonna be upside. It's gonna be landing spot, and I hate that. I hate that. So the news up here, though, I don't know how you're hearing it over there, but the news is that New England is going to draft him at the end of the first.
There's no.
I don't want that.
There's no way.
He's white, though.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, but...
I do... Tonight, I want to see an offer for McCaffrey to me. Just...
Send me an offer. No. I don't like sending... Like, I don't like sending offers.
It's like, no, you hang up. No, you send me the offer.
You want McCaffrey. You offer me something. That's
I want white lightning.
as far as receivers for me go...
yeah,
some of the guys... have declared that I'm looking forward to. At least I got to dig more into the tape on a lot of these guys, but the combine's really going to show more to me because watching tape on receivers, unless you got like all 22 of film, you don't get to see the entire route progression. You're just seeing the point of catch, how they're doing in traffic, if they're making hands catches, are they going up and grabbing the ball over defenders, things like that. So I want to see some of these guys, you know, in the combine, their footwork, things like that. But I'd like to see how KD Cannon from Baylor tests out.
I can't wait for that.
Ricky Seals-Jones, if you are a big guy lover, a big receiver lover, I think he's like 6'5". Yeah, if you love the big men, 6'5", 240, Ricky Seals-Jones.
That might be too big. I don't know if I can handle that.
Texas A&M, I want to say. Yeah, Texas A&M, Ricky Seals. And then, of course, Mike Williams. Everybody probably has him as their first wide receiver off the board. But some of these other guys, if they could put up some – combine numbers, there's always those combine warriors. If somebody can put up some good combine numbers, they might be able to give Williams a run for his money.
Yeah. Somebody on Twitter was mentioning their draft love, and I think mine is going to be John Ross.
I've heard you blow him so many times. He's not for me.
I have a feeling I'm going to like him. But honestly, the two are Corey Davis and Mike Williams. And the combine and landing spot, I should say, is going to say a lot about which one goes first. If you know, Corey Davis goes to a team with need of a wide receiver and he shows good athleticism, I think he'll be the first receiver. But if Mike Williams does the same thing, because I think the main thing with Davis is his athleticism. He was a two-star recruit and people are kind of wondering how is he going to show athletically. So I do think that's going to be the big thing. Nick Whalen is in love with Davis, thinks he's the best route runner that he's seen in college football ever. So
okay, now, where does your first wide receiver go to you in the rookie draft, the 103 at the earliest?
It has to be 103, 102 at the earliest.
You can see him above Fournette is what you're saying, Mike Williams.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm in a league where a team has 101 and 102, and this is a team that is horrible. I mean, it needs everything. And I think he knows he's not going to compete for at least 4 years, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So I do think he will take Cook and than a receiver because of the longevity of the career. Sure. So that will leave me with Fournette or, like you said, Chris, I like McCaffrey a lot. I need a running back, so it'd probably be McCaffrey in that league.
Tim, you were about to say before we cut you off?
Yeah.
I was going to say unless a good team traded and has an early pick where they might be stacked at running back, 102 would be the absolute earliest I see a receiver going in this draft. 103, I think, is where you're going to see receivers start to go in the vast majority of drafts, though. 103, 104, that area right there.
Yeah, I'm wildly underwhelmed about the wide receivers in general. I don't know. I'm going to say it for the next 6 months. I'm not thrilled with them at all. And okay, so but where does Williams go in the real draft?
I haven't even digged into that, so I couldn't tell you.
Mid to late first, somewhere between 15 and 25.
Is he the first wide receiver off the board?
Again, I think that depends on the combine. I think if one of these other guys can really show some stud athleticism. These teams fall in love with these athletes, man. So it's not completely impossible that he's going to get passed by. But I think as of right now, I think Williams is probably the safest bet to be like that mid first round pick.
And a player I will not own in probably rookie drafts, Juju, I will probably not own.
Yeah.
And a player I'm excited to see where he lands is Foreman. I'm excited to see him test. I'm not. I think he's a good player.
I don't. I'm not a fan. Maybe it'll change when I really get deep into it, but I've only shallowly watched him, and I don't know. He bothers me. He really bothers me. It's something about him.
All right, we should wrap this up, Chris. So anybody else has nothing else to say?
Cooper Kupp.
I'm just saying tight ends, people. This is a good tight end class. I like a lot of these guys.
But
what? Talking about tight ends?
Cooper Kupp?
No, but.
B-U-T or B-U-T-T?
B-U-T-T, Jake Butt.
Yep, oh. Bucky Hodges. I like Bucky Hodges
a lot.
That's
not where I thought you were going.
No, he tore his ACL, and it was sad to see because, honestly, I didn't watch much tape on him. And then I watched that bull, and he is a nasty dude. He loves contact, and he seems like he's got the attitude like Gronk, has good athleticism. It was sad to see him go down. Yeah, that was
sad times.
That was sad.
All right, now that you ruined the aura of the show here, that puts an end to the show. If you want to support the show, the number of ways how. Easiest way is to go on over to iTunes and leave a rate and review. There's some serious slacking, and I think that people are going to start listening to us again because the redraft season's over and people are going to get back into it. So if you're getting back into us, first of all, welcome back. We're sorry you left for a few months, but welcome back. Go leave a rating review on iTunes. Go listen to our old episodes while you're at it, too. But leaving a rating review on iTunes is very important for us. It means a lot to us. So please just head on over there. It does a lot for us as a podcast and as podcasters. If you want to buy some of our merch, we have it on over at represent.com. If you need a link, just let us know. We'll hook you up. And if you wanted to give us money so we can, you know, use it on frivolous things like website, you can head on over to GoFundMe.com. We have a page up there. We want to have a website. We want to have writers. We want to create our own content and bring more fantasy football advice to you. If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at ChrisWitman11. If you want to find the podcast, it's at DynastyHHPod. Tyler, where can people find you on the Twitter sphere?
You can find me at DHHGunth. I'm a little more active nowadays, and yeah.
A little more. Tim?
At TimDynastyFF is where you can find me on Twitter.
So that means pretty much puts it into the show. If you have any last words, now is your time to say it.
2017, Tim. Be ready. Be ready for the Dynasty Happy Hour. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know what this means.
I'll tell you what it means. It means listeners, be ready to have your mind blown by great insight. Get ready for those rookie drafts. And then this Podcasters League, be ready, because you're going to murder all three of us probably, unless we collude and just stack one of our own teams. So
I thought someone was going to say dicks out for Harambe, but all right. Yeah.
We are going to keep track of players that we are actually high on in this draft. And I want to keep track of who we hit, and I want to see the percentage of who we are low on, who we hit. Honestly, it's going to be a fun year. I mean, this is the first full combine, Chris and I and Tim. I mean, last year, Chris, what did we start? End of March? So
April, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun. We got Tim along. Of course, he's a great addition. It's exciting, Tim. I want to thank you for all you've been doing lately for us.
Thank you, guys.
I didn't thank you. You don't have to thank me back.
Chris, I mean, thanks for hopping along. You're like that.
Dick moves all around. No, I think, you know what we should do, though? No, we don't have to do it now, but maybe if we have time, because I think the Listener League episode might be a little bit shorter than we think, unless we get magically two of the dinks on, and the two dinks magically take a long time. But maybe we should prepare for a first-round 2017 rookie draft way too early.
A mock draft?
Yeah, no, a real draft in a league that we're magically in, and we have these spots. Of course, a mock draft, Dingleberry.
So you're creating a league, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I'm up for anything.
All right. Yes, that is factually correct. You are.
The worst is how Tim sounded after that.
Yes. Thank you. And also, he sat back in his seat with a creep face years, guys. Right. So let's go. I didn't know I was on board with this. I just thought we were podcasting.
Hey, open minds. Just, you know, go with the flow, man.
No judgments, man. We're all about it.
All right, everybody. Hopefully your favorite team made the playoffs like mine did. And I'm not going to be able to watch mine because, of course,
both of mine did.
It's around one bye for me. So, but yeah, I mean, just watch some playoff football. Start, you know, doing your own watching your own tape of rookies, and doing all that stuff, getting ready for the rookie draft. It helps. I started doing it last year. It helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. I know Chris does it a lot. I know Tim does it a lot. It helps us a lot on those late round, third round, fourth round guys. Start doing that now. Draftbreakdown.com is a great site to do that on.
Agreed.
Just keep doing your studying. But on that note, we will see everybody next week.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWhitman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.